This morning on Wake Up With Hope, we're making milkshakes with Gia and her team.
We're also talking about the power foods have on our brain.
Plus, we have music, a devotional thought, and more.
Stay with us. Good morning and welcome to Wake Up With Hope. It's a brand new week, so thank you for starting your week with us.
Well, friends, it's National Pistachio Day, so let's learn more about this classic nut. Did you know that pistachios are nutrient-rich? They are a good source of essential nutrients, including the B vitamins, minerals such as potassium, and even protein. They can also help reduce stress, as they have B6, which helps in mood regulation and stress reduction.
Not only that, but they're also good for the heart. They help manage blood sugar, and they're full of antioxidants and even contribute to eye health.
That is very interesting.
And they also reduce inflammation in the body and help contribute to healthier skin.
Wow, pistachios are definitely a food to add to your regular diet, and I think I'm going to start eating some every day with all of those good benefits included. So just remember, when you eat them, eat them in moderation because of their calorie content. Can be a little high.
That's true. And you know how I love to make baklava?
Yes.
And I love pistachios. Mm-hmm. Oh, man. And talking about food and its impact, if you've ever wondered how food affects the brain, well, we've got a special segment coming up for you on today's program. But first, let's take a look back at what took place on this day in history.
On this day in history, in 1993, at 12:18 p.m., a terrorist bomb detonated in a World Trade Center parking garage, causing a significant explosion and collapse of multiple floors. While the skyscraper's main structure remained intact, 6 fatalities and over 1,000 injuries occurred, with damages exceeding $500 million. Post-blast, 50,000 people were evacuated, including hundreds affected by smoke inhalation throughout the afternoon.
Sadly, this event was not the first nor the last of its kind. You know, we live in a broken world where crime and destruction often prevail. You know, people are killed, people get sick, and there's a loss of life happening every day. And over the years, the number of senseless acts of crime, such as mass shootings, have increased and become rampant. And through it all, even in the midst of chaos, we can remember that God is our refuge and strength. That's why I love Psalm 46, verse 1. It assures us that God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in trouble. You know, in times of crisis, we can turn to Him for comfort, healing, and strength to overcome the challenges before us.
Amen. I'm so thankful we have a God like that, aren't you?
Amen.
Well, it's cold outside this morning, but it's never a bad day to have a milkshake,
no,
at least if you ask me.
Never a bad day.
So Gia and her team are in the kitchen again, making a kid-friendly, dairy-free chocolate mint milkshake.
We're making chocolate milkshake, and Momo is going to help us too. So we've got Momo, Hannah, and Olive Litzer, and we are going to make chocolate milkshake because we love chocolate milkshakes, but we just want to make it as healthy as possible for the kids. So, frozen bananas. You're going to put that in there for me, Hannah?
Please put the ice cream in.
Of course you can.
Can I put the cinnamon in?
The chocolate in, yes. So we'll put in, what are we putting in here?
Ice cream.
This is a non-dairy coconut ice cream, and you can get it in the freezer section at the supermarket. Coconut, non-dairy, chocolate ice cream, delicious. And we've got, what's this one, Hannah? Is that just chocolate? Can you put that in there for us? Good work. Just some cacao powder. And we're just going to put, I'm going to make a choc mint flavor. And I've got some essential oils that I love using. And I'm going to put a couple of drops in there because it's really going to bring out a nice minty flavor in the chocolate. Milkshake. If you don't like mint, you don't have to add mint to it, but I'm telling you, this choc mint milkshake is delicious. Mama. Okay, so let's put it on here, and I'm going to add a little bit of milk. Okay, I'm just going to add a little bit to start. Whoa. Sorry. Just a little bit to start until we see the consistency, and then we'll add some more milk if we have to. Alrighty, let's go. You ready? You guys ready? Where you have it, your chocolate milkshake ready to go. I didn't actually need to add any more milk. So I might put some in here first so we can see it, and then you guys can have a try. How about that? Oh, wow. Check that milkshake out. Ooh la la. I'm going to make more if you guys like it, but you have to tell me if you like it, okay? Whoa. Good? Okay, point then. Point your thumb up. See you next time. Bye. Say bye, everyone.
Yum.
Yum, I know, right?
Ever wondered how what you eat affects your brain? Well, let's dig deep and find out on today's episode of The Incredible Journey.
Eating is one of the necessities and great pleasures in life. In fact, the average person spends a staggering over 32,000 hours on eating in their lifetime. That's nearly 4 years of non-stop eating. So to help us understand how the food we eat affects our brains, we're going to ask a nutritional neuroscientist, Dr. Delia McKay. Welcome, Delia. Great to have you with us today. So eating and the brain, what's the relationship?
Well, the food that we eat becomes compounds that the brain uses for energy and to make neurotransmitters and impact the structure of the actual neuron. But first, the food has to go into our gut or our stomach. You know, the gut is made up of the stomach, the intestines, large intestine called the colon, and our bowels. But we collectively call it the gut. The challenge is that if the gut is not really working well, then we don't get those nutrients and what we need into our bloodstream across that very delicate gut lining. And what determines the health of our gut is the bacteria that we have in our gut. Stress affects how the gut responds to the food that we eat, and even how much we sleep affects the gut. So it's really important to make sure that the food that we're eating is firstly of a very good quality, like these superfoods, but that they also get digested really well. Because you see, we aren't what we eat. That's a myth. We are what we absorb.
Delia, you've mentioned the importance of food. So what are the best foods for the brain?
Well, Gary, let's take the food around us as an example. You know, we have flax seeds here, we have hemp seeds, we have chia seeds. These are seeds that contain critically important, in fact, we call them essential nutrients, because our body cannot make them, we have to get them from our diet. And the brain uses up vast quantities of these special fats to be able to function optimally. You know, then we've got grains, legumes, great fiber, great protein, pumpkin seeds full of zinc, important for the brain. Here we've got berries full of antioxidants. Look how colorful they are. The brain is continuously making energy. And that energy, unfortunately, results in free radicals. But antioxidants come along and tell free radicals not to cause any harm. They donate electrons. We have nuts here, fantastic. Also, protein, good fats. Behind me, you know, there's fantastic pumpkin. We've got broccoli. We've got sweet potatoes. We've got ordinary potatoes, carrots, all colorful foods, many of them, most of them. And they provide a stable, consistent supply of carbohydrates to keep our blood glucose stable. Then we've got vitamins and minerals that come in our citrus. Do you know that the brain and the adrenal glands use up 15 times more vitamin C than any other tissue in the body? So we need loads of those, especially in our stressed world. We've got tomatoes full of lycopene. You know, these are all the foods that nature provides. They're superfoods, and they provide fiber. They've got loads of nutrients. They provide what the brain needs, being the greediest organ that we own and running 24/7 using chemicals and electricity to give us our life. So these kinds of foods provide all those raw materials, and they keep our gut healthy. And as we discussed, we need a healthy gut to be able to get the best nutrients into our brain.
Delia, you've mentioned the importance of superfoods, natural plant-based foods. What foods are harmful for the brain?
You know, exactly the opposite of these foods. So that's highly processed, refined foods, full of refined sugar, full of damaged fats, full of preservatives, full of additives, full of compounds that the brain doesn't know what to do with and are actually toxic to the body and the brain. The challenge is that most people have become accustomed to those kinds of foods, and they don't understand the harm that is being caused to the body and the brain. The challenge is that the brain is the most sensitive organ that we own, and it unfortunately gets damaged by all of these compounds. Not just the lack of energy and the lack of vitamins and minerals, the lack of nutrients, the lack of good fats. It gets damaged by many of the compounds that are in those foods, that are in those foods to preserve them and make them taste better, that make them look colorful. So those foods are actually toxic, and they are being produced, we call them factory foods, and we should avoid them at all costs if you want a healthy brain and a healthy body.
Let's be practical. What are some of these foods? What are we talking about? Fast foods, soft drinks. Give us some examples.
Crisps. You know, foods that are in packets that crinkle and that are brightly colored. Any kind of food like that is not actually a food. It's only palatable, but it doesn't contain anything good. The other challenge is, of course, the foods that are marketed as healthy. So, you know, supposedly healthy protein bars. There's generally nothing healthy about them. And then, of course, we have soft drinks that are aimed at people who want to lose weight with artificial sweeteners that actually make you put on more weight over time. So these are insidious marketing myths that are perpetuated in our society by people who do not understand that those foods are toxic on every single level. You know, we become addicted to them. Our taste buds change, and they undermine every single cellular function that we need. So to avoid them is what you need to do if you care about your body and if you care about your really sophisticated, really precious, really amazing brain.
So instead of supporting the big multinationals who produce these highly processed and refined foods, support yourself and eat the natural plant-based foods that are available to us.
And if we can support our local farmers, even better. Because they're growing this food, and you know, then we eat it in season, and we eat it as it's been picked, so it's full of exactly what we need for a healthy body and brain.
Delia, you've shared some vitally important information with us today. Thank you so very much. This is life-changing information.
It's time for music now, as Gisela Kroll joins us to sing "The More the Light Fades."
If you're enjoying today's show, share it with a friend or visit our website at hopetv.org/wakeup to see more or rewatch any segment. And subscribe to our YouTube channel to keep up with each one of our episodes.
We have to take a quick break now, friends, but when we return, the Voice of Prophecy will be back with today's devotional thought. Welcome back to Wake Up with Hope. Thank you for staying with us. It's time for our devotional thought, brought to us today by our friends at Voice of Prophecy.
Have you ever been far from home, perhaps enjoying a visit with family or on a business trip, when all of a sudden it hits you? Something reminds you of home. Perhaps it's a child that reminds you of your little one, or a smell that reminds you of the flowers in your backyard, or that stranger in a crowd wearing the same goofy hat that your spouse likes to wear. Whatever the trigger, it hits suddenly. Homesickness. Well, King David experienced this kind of longing for home, and this homesickness proved to be a test of his leadership. David's path to kingship, well, it was far from easy. God called him while he was still tending his father's sheep. God chose him to be the next king of Israel when Saul was still king. And David fought for his life against Saul, and eventually he became a good king for Judah and for Israel. David was a capable leader, and early in his journey, David's leadership capacity was tested. Now, the Philistines were in the valley, and David and his men had set up a stronghold in the cave of Adullam. Safe in the cave, they strategized their next move against the Philistines. And entering the cave, three of his chief men brought a report about the status of the battle. David's home city, Bethlehem, was under the control of the enemy. David heard the report, and it stirred up a longing for home. David must have sighed at the thought of home and all that he cared about. He felt a pang of homesickness, and he longed for a taste of home, of Bethlehem. Let's read the account. It's found in 2 Samuel and chapter 23. Then three of the 30 chief men went down at harvest time and came to David at the cave of Adullam. And the troop of Philistines encamped in the valley of Rephaim. David was then in the stronghold, and the garrison of the Philistines was then in Bethlehem. And David said with longing, "Oh, that someone would give me a drink of the water from the well of Bethlehem, which is by the gate." Well, here, missing home and in the heat and stress of battle, David longed for a taste of the cool, familiar water from the well close to home. I imagine he made the comment wistfully, dreaming of a time when this battle would be over and he'd be safely back home and in familiar territory. You know, David may not have really even thought much about the comment, but three of his men, described in Scripture as mighty men, they heard his passing comment. And in the midst of battle and at great personal risk, they took the comment to heart. Let's keep reading. So the three mighty men broke through the camp of the Philistines, drew water from the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, and took it and brought it to David. These men broke through the camp of their enemies, not to secure a strategic victory or to secure rations or supplies. They crept past the Philistines, risking their lives to satisfy David's whim, to get him what he longed for, that taste of home. Well, arriving back at the cave of Adullam, the water flask full, their adrenaline must have been pumping. They'd successfully accomplished a very dangerous mission. Now, to surprise and delight their leader with water from the well at Bethlehem. The men presented David with the full water flask. Joyfully, they must have told him about their adventure, eager to please him. And as they spoke, their faces must have fallen. Far from being pleased, David was horrified. These men risked their lives to satisfy his whim. Now, a lesser man would have gulped down the cool water that he craved and been satisfied. But David couldn't. And so let's keep reading what happened in 2 Samuel. Nevertheless, he, David, would not drink it, but poured it out to the Lord. And he said, "Far be it from me, O Lord, that I should do this. Is this not the blood of the men who went in jeopardy of their lives?" Therefore, he would not drink it. Their full flask in his hands, David poured it out and into the dirt right there in the cave. He poured it out to the Lord. And in this experience, David felt the weight of responsibility for his men. He felt the weight of responsibility not only for making the right strategic decisions in battle, but for the very words that he chose. Vocalizing his longing for home had put three of his best men in jeopardy. He couldn't drink the water, water that could have cost his men their lives. Now, David's experience with the water showed his natural leadership qualities. He cared about the well-being of those that he led. And this early experience also helped to shape his leadership in the future. You know, words always matter. A leader's words matter more than he or she may realize. Now, wherever God has called you to lead, whether it's in ministry, in business, or in your family as a parent, your words and your actions, well, they matter. And leaders are vulnerable to the pangs of homesickness and longing, all of the things that all of the rest of us are vulnerable to. And yet, often in leadership, our personal longings must be set aside for the well-being of those that we lead. And at times, a leader's words can be misconstrued. In those instances, our actions are vital. David could have drunk the water, but instead he poured it out to the Lord. He acted with integrity and he set an example for his men and also for us today. You know, leadership comes with ethical responsibilities. David would have failed his men miserably if he had satisfied his own cravings without consideration of the sacrifice it could have cost. Now, David's experience shaped his future leadership. He followed God's leading and he was a good king for Israel and Judah. His experience is a good reminder for us in the realms that we serve in. Words and actions matter, but what matters most are the people God has asked us to lead. Our children, our colleagues, our church members, they're certainly worth pouring water out for. Well, I'm thankful to start another week with you, our Hope Channel family, once again. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, how often do we casually wish for something to satisfy our longings? A sight or a smell can remind us of home or of better times in the past. Father, as leaders in our families, churches, and work, please remind us of how you want us to serve those that we lead. May our words and our actions protect and build up those around us. Guide us as we serve you this week. Amen. Well, three mighty men burst through enemy lines to get their leader the desire of his heart. When presented with the water from the well, David poured it out. Were the men disappointed? Perhaps. But what they witnessed was leadership that showed them that David cared more about them than the water. And who could be disappointed with that kind of leadership? Well, we at the Voice of Prophecy pray that you wake up with hope each and every day. Thank you for starting your Monday morning with us. You know, whatever this new week has in store for you, you can have hope in the midst of it. Invite God to go with you every step of the way.
Thank you so much for those encouraging words this morning.
And friends, thank you for being with us here today and watching Wake Up With Hope. And if you'd like to learn more about our program or share us with a friend, please visit us at hopetv.org/wakeup.
And as always, we invite you to join us tomorrow morning, friends. Jesus 101 will be with us to share a morning devotional thought. We will have a dedicated prayer session and much more. And if you enjoyed today's devotional thought and would like to learn more, visit hope.study to receive your free Bible study guides.
You know, our free Bible study guides have helped so many people draw closer to Jesus and find courage to stay connected with Him. And so start your series today by going to hope.study. And before we go, we want to share with you a Bible promise. And today's Bible promise comes from Romans chapter 8, verses 33 and 34.
It says, "Who dares accuse us whom God has chosen for his own? No one, for God himself has given us right standing with himself. Who then will condemn us? No one. For Christ Jesus died for us and was raised to life for us, and he is sitting in the place of honor at God's right hand, pleading for us."
Wow, that's the gospel right there. What a beautiful promise. Who can accuse us? No one. Who can condemn us? No one. You know, God has chosen us. He has chosen you. He has chosen us for his very own. Wow. You know, Jesus died for us. Jesus died for you and me, and he pleads on our behalf. What an incredible thought.
Amen. We pray that you were blessed by today's program.
Let's pray together. Oh, Father in heaven, our hearts are overwhelmed with joy, this deep joy, that we are redeemed, that we are not condemned, that we stand before you just as we had not sinned, because your cleansing of sin goes deep. Thank you so much, Lord, for being our Savior. And thank you for the hope that fills our hearts as we continue on with this day. In Jesus' name, amen.